Welcome to Calling All Craft Beer, your craft beer podcast. Guys, we've been doing this since 2017. It's amazing when I think back how I was out on my ass, didn't have a job, and decided to put together this podcast to share my love for craft beer with the world. Since then, we've gotten into politics, news, sports, fitness, men's health, and it has truly played a role in many people's lives that are out there. So I'm super excited to get going with season six. I hope you guys are too. We've got some great guests for you. We've got some awesome brews to share, and it's time to get this thing started. So let's go. What's going on, guys? Welcome to episode 100 of Calling All Craft Beer. And good God, has this been just a wild experience. It was like, I really felt like in a lot of ways, the universe did not want this episode to come out. Like, it was just wild in terms of, I've never had so many things happen that I would consider to be Murphy's Law. It was just wild. I mean, from the original recording getting corrupted and then me dropping and breaking my cell phone and losing the recording to trying to recover it. And that's what ultimately happened. I dropped and broke my phone, tried to recover the recording, and it came back corrupted, didn't want to work. And then I had an issue with my laptop. And I mean, it was just stupid. And the time and energy that it takes to go through all 99 prior episodes and pull clips out, it was just proved to be way too much for me to do by myself. And I committed to something in my own mind. I never really said it out loud, but I committed to myself something that was literally going to take me weeks to do. And I had to kind of pull the plug on that because it was just, I mean, there's really no way to search times on different episodes or anything like that. So you literally have to go back, find the episode. And a lot of the older episodes, I don't have the raw original recordings anymore. So I had to literally go on like Apple or Shopify and listen to them and start and stop and screen record and then pull the screen recordings and then separate the audio. And it was just like, yeah, this is ridiculous. So I just said, screw it. I'm going to start all over again, and I'm going to reminisce about, you know, why I got started and some of my favorite episodes and things like that. But before we get into all that stuff, I can't thank you guys enough that have been around since the beginning. Now, I mean, for the amount of listeners that we still get for the show, which is actively around 500 to 600 a week or an episode, I have to believe that there are still quite a few of you out there that have been listening from the very beginning, despite the hiatuses and all the stupid shit that's gone on, you know, with the show over the years. I mean, who takes 4 years to get to 100 episodes, right? I mean, that's ultimately it's where we are. I started the podcast in November of 2018. Here we are in November of 2022, and I'm just now hitting 100 episodes. So that's like, yeah, I mean, damn, Luke, get on the ball. You know what I'm saying? So it's clearly we got some issues, and we need to make sure that that doesn't happen again. So another thing that I wanted to throw in here at the very beginning is we just got a brand new batch of our Craftmaster Grands from Rastl, the Calling All Craft Beer glasses. They have Calling All Craft Beer, the logo on both sides, and then our IG handle on the stem on one side. Phenomenal glasses. They did go up a little bit. Last time we were selling them for $9.99 shipped. This time around, they were a little bit more. They're $12.99 shipped. I just want to get them in as many hands as we can. So if you guys are interested in the glass, if you listen to the show, hit me with a DM. Obviously, I can definitely do bulk discounts if somebody would like to buy more than one. You know, I can figure that out for you as well. So I appreciate you guys so much. And before we get into the long and short of it, let's crack a brewski. All right. So I'm over here. I'm going to get, I stumbled across a 4-pack of Parish Brewing Vermillionaire. which is an 8% double IPA at my local Total Wine. And I was amazed. And it was in the cooler. Ooh, you hear that crack? It was in the cooler like it should be. It wasn't amongst the warm beers. And it smells great. So that's a. Parrish always seems to have it down when it comes to, taking care of their beers. Because I mean, even Ghost in the Machine, which tends to be outside a lot and left on warm shelves, there's just something about the way that they prepare it and the way they take care of it that it, I mean, it just lasts. Like it holds up, and it's a great quality brew that, stands the test of time. And I've had. Three or 4 month old bottles before, and they've been fantastic, just like they were intended to be. So let's check this bad boy out. Vermillionaire from Parrish. Nose is nice and juicy. Yeah, that's good. I like that. That is very citrusy. So I got kind of a. Kind of a tangerine and grapefruity off the hit, and then with a little bit of subtle sweet and softness on the back end. So I'm liking that. Now let me so hops wise, if you're unfamiliar with Vermillionaire, we are looking at a so this is Parrish's explanation of the beer, and it's got 2.1 check-ins on Tapped with an average rating of 4.22, which is pretty damn good. So if you thought our IPAs wouldn't get any juicier, you've got another thing coming. With one part innovation and one part rebelliousness, Vermillionaire is drenched in new school tropical hop flavor. A thick double IPA base of 8.8% ABV is dripping in heavy additions of Citra, Citra Spectrum, Strata, CGX, and Citra Terpenes. Ah, that's what I tasted a little bit of that a little bit of that like pungentiness that comes from the terpenes usually. So really, really good. I'm actually enjoying this. So let's get into the show. I am damn, I mean I'm humbled at the fact that we hit, I mean, we've been through so much, right? We've been through tons and tons of guests. We've been through a basically an entire season of having Thomas on as a co-host. And then I kind of revamped the show and started it over on my own. And the thing with Thomas is, so I don't remember if I ever got into the nitty-gritty of like why Thomas wasn't part of the show anymore. And I did get some feedback from some people that felt like he wasn't right for the show, but I could care less really what the feedback from certain people was in terms of making that decision, right? Because at the end of the day, I really enjoyed spending time with Thomas, him and I going out and doing the on location shows and stuff like that was probably one of the most fun experiences of doing this podcast. But at the end, it just became really, really difficult for us to get together and actually do the show. And after having our times, canceled, quite a few times, and not always his fault. I mean, there were some times obviously that were his, but a lot of it was just hard for us to both come together at specific times and actually make shit happen. And it got frustrating. So eventually I just got to the point that I said, look, I just need to be able to record when I'm ready to record. And that's one of the things that's been about this show from the very beginning is that I never really left you guys with a solid schedule. It was more about when I wanted to record an episode, I just jumped on and recorded an episode. Sometimes they were long, sometimes they were short, sometimes we had guests, sometimes we had nobody, and it was just me ranting and raving and talking a bunch of shit. So, having Thomas as a co-host, it branched us out into areas that we probably never would have done on our own. I mean, I did do an episode at Trippin' Animals on my own where I walked around and kind of interviewed some of the customers and things like that and had some fun with that. But you wouldn't have had those on location, episodes like the one we did at, Matthew's Brewing, which is probably one of my favorite episodes. We did Due South, which is now gone. I mean, Due South no longer exists, and we have an episode that we recorded from Due South. So to me, that's nostalgic, and it's going to be awesome and something to really hang on to for a long period of time. Copper Point, we went to Palm Beach Brewing Company, or was it Palm Beach? Not Palm Beach Brewing Company. Pompano Beach Brewing Company. King Fox. I mean, there's been so many of them. I can't even remember all the ones that we did the on location slots at, but it was a lot of fun, you know, opportunities. I mean, we had a blast getting out there and, you know, recording invasive species. I mean, I can't, you know, there was been so many of them, honestly. And it was a blast. You know, I really enjoyed Thomas's company. I really enjoyed our, you know, our the manner of us back and forth together. I felt like it was, you know, it was a lot of fun. I felt like I had a little bit more knowledge about physical beer, and he was more of the newbie kind of learning the beer process, who's come a long way, might I add, that at this point in time, he's a lot more of a well-versed beer connoisseur than he was when we first got started, which is fantastic. So, but it was a lot of fun. And I look back at, you know, episodes like when Drew visited from California, you know, my buddy Drew was on episode 13.5. It was one of the longest episodes that we ever made. It was about 3 hours long. And Drew and I just hit it off. You know, Drew was a listener. He's not somebody that I know in person. He's not, or that I knew in person. He's not somebody that I met Drew because of this show. And he ended up becoming one of my best friends and somebody that I turned to for, you know, a lot of stuff. And he also ended up being one of the people that came to me the most and discussed the aspect of like men's health and things like that that really helped him and kind of got him through some difficult times. So it was just awesome and fantastic, you know, in terms of where the show has gone. And when he came down here to South Florida and we were able to go hit some breweries and have a good time. We went to Boss Burger. We met at the hotel and we had we had beers at the hotel that he had brought from Cali. Then we hit Boss Burger, then we hit Unseen Creatures, then we went to I don't yeah we hit Trippin' Animals, and then we went to the warehouse place. I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head, where we hit Kohler's Brewing or something like that. It was terrible, where we did the 48 sampler and it was just like dog shit beer. And then we left from there and went to, you know, had one last brew at Invasive Species before we headed back. And it was a lot of fun. I mean, I really enjoyed those crazy days of like, you know, running around and doing this kind of stuff. And I mean, the visits that I've had, you know, I got to visit with a buddy that I met, you know, in the podcast on via the podcast in Vancouver, Canada. I got to meet somebody that I know from the podcast in Texas. So we went to Turning Point and got to hang out with him and his wife. And it's just, you know, this podcast has opened up so many doors and so many areas in my life for me that have made it better. The only negative part about it has been the physical change in my body by consuming too much beer, right? And that's one of the reasons why I pulled back a lot. It's one of the reasons why I got into doing, you know, training again and try to get myself healthier. You know, I'm probably the one of the lightest I've been in a long time right now, and not necessarily because I've, you know, cut back on beer and taking training back or anything like that. I've kind of just pulled back on everything because after having the surgery on my hands for carpal tunnel, I couldn't really do a whole hell of a lot. So I really controlled my intake and my food. And I haven't, you know, I've only really gotten back to the gym, you know, recently. And it's hard, you know, like I went today and did chest and it sucked. I mean, 50 pounds on a chest press machine feels like 1 million pounds. And it's not that my chest muscles are strong, it's just that my wrists are weak and I can't, it's really hard to have that the stability that I need to be able to move, you know, real weight. And it's just painful, you know. So I'm working through all that right now. And it's gonna be a part of the process for the next, I think I had this July 21st, so August, September, October. So November 21st will be 4 months. They said it could take up to 6 months for all my strength to come back. Maybe even a year, which I pray doesn't take that long. But I did recently have to go back and get some cartilage addressed, not cartilage, scar tissue addressed. There was actually a chunk of scar tissue that had made its way into the joint on my right wrist, and it was preventing me from being able to extend my hand. So my hand, I can rotate, I can supinate my hand downward, but I couldn't pronate it outwards. It would just stay at a 90 a flat. It would just stay parallel with my arm. Like I couldn't go above or above it. It was just stuck at that parallel with my forearm. Whereas pronating it in, downwards, I could go almost 90 degrees. So that was frustrating. I'm waiting to see if that is actually going to improve. So far, it hasn't. And it just sucks. So, but I look back on, just so much fun that we've had, that I've had that, my guests have had with the podcast. I took a time in my life where I was at my absolute worst and turned it into something that has brought me nothing but joy and just relationships and fantastic beer and all kinds of cool experiences in my life. And I'm not regretful of that in any way, shape, or form. The only thing I am regretful about is I wish that I would have stayed on top of it more and we would be celebrating episode 200 at this point, not episode 100. But I am going to kick ass and, keep doing what I'm doing going forward and try to make the best, out of this scenario, and really just try to bring you guys more content more often and try to do more on-site stuff. It hits as a millionaire before it gets room temperature. God, that's a juicy bitch. And I could just gulp it. Like, it's not even, it's so good that it's so easy to drink. Loving it. So I think back to like just amazing scenarios of, like my first experience at Trippin' Animals when I walked around and interviewed people and talked to them and had their amazing beer and became like a huge fan of theirs. The Wake Fest in 2019. It was 2019, I believe. Yeah, Wakefest 2019. I mean, phenomenal. Had a blast. Had the opportunity to interview, John Wakefield, like a week before the event, which is our all-time second highest listened to episode, honestly. For a long time, it was number one, but it has slowly fallen behind a rabbit hole episode that was right there neck and neck with it for a while. And that one has seemed to, over time, surpass by not much. I mean, we're talking only a few plays, but those are top two. And the John Wakefield one was, one of my favorite episodes. And I look back at the opportunities to, meet phenomenally cool people like the team at Trippin' Animals and John Wakefield and, Dave Matthews, who's the owner of Matthews Brewing, and the team, the family, at King Fox. And it just, there's nothing cooler than being able to walk into like a brewery or something like that and say, hey, my name is Luke from Calling All Craft Beer, and have somebody know who I am, right? It's not common, and the funniest part was is that I actually get recognized more. And not recognized, obviously, facially, because I'm on a audio podcast, but I get people know who I am a lot more outside of Florida than they do here in Florida. So it's which is weird. I don't know why that is, but I'm guessing that, predominantly most of my listeners are probably outside of Florida. But it's just, so fun, so much cool shit that's going on. I think about the cases and cases of beer that have been ran back and forth, and the people that we've got come in contact with that weren't, the best. I know some of you are, and I'm not going to, totally put the guy on blast here, but, some of you are aware or friends with, Albie, who was he was MIA Beer Brigade, and this, dude unfortunately put himself, he was our beer runner. He was the guy that I got beer from all over the state. He would take off and drive and bring beer back from just about every brewery in Florida. He would go on, weekend trips where he would make a round around Florida, and he would come home with an entire car full of beer. And I'd hit him up, and I'd go over to his work warehouse, and I'd load up and I'd bring it back. And I had the opportunity to try so many great beers from him. But dude ended up letting the brew life get the best of him. And he ended up, actually getting into a car accident and killing somebody. And now he's nowhere to be seen. And he still pops up once in a while, and last we heard, unfortunately, he violated his parole in some way, shape, or form, or his probation or something, and was headed back to court. And, it's not a good look for him. But that's the kind of shit that I don't want to see happen to anybody when it comes to this game. Because, I have some buddies, especially, that are police officers and stuff like that, that are craft brew nerds, And they're careful with what they do, you know, when they're off duty and they go and have craft beer, man, they go, they Uber, they have their wife drive, they have a designated driver, they drink at home and take care of that, you know, so much so that they are just very, very careful. And I'm gonna be honest, it's not like I'm perfect. And there's been plenty of times that I've been, you know, hitting breweries in a daytime in the day and maybe a little bit more tipsy than I should have been when I drove home. And despite being careful, you can only be so careful when you're drinking, because at the end of the day, it is there. They call it intoxication for a reason, right? And if you're intoxicated and you're trying to drive, it's only a matter of time before something bad is going to happen. And I will say that as I've gotten older, my desire to do that has pummeled and fallen away. And if I do go somewhere and I'm driving myself and I have too much, I wait it out. You know, I will sit there and kind of like, I'll drink water and I'll get some food and I'll kind of hang out until I feel like I'm a little bit, you know, a little bit more cognizant before I jump in the car and head out anywhere. And it's, you know, and that may not necessarily be the best way to handle it either, but I think it's a lot better than getting in the car and fucking seeing seven, you know, seeing the car in front of you's taillights and there's seven of them and you're like, I'm all right, I can make it home just fine. Yeah, no, that's not me, and that won't be me. So, but just recently, we did the invasive species did a hurricane relief event, and they partnered up with Cross Keys Tattoo Society, which is right across the street from them, and they brought over some artists from Forever Tattoo Parlor in Cape Coral that got just not destroyed, but it got severely damaged and has not been able to operate since Hurricane Ian. And I was blessed to be able to receive, you know, an owl tattoo from a gentleman named Tyler. And I want to say, I think it was Tyler Harrison, something like that. I think that's his last name. But if not, I'll fix it in the comments. And, you know, Tyler did an amazing job. I'm super, super happy with my tattoo. And that day was just, dude, it was a friggin' blast. I made some cool videos and I got to hang out with some great people and I got to just, I am that person that obviously will talk to anybody, and I got to talk to a bunch of different people there and just have a blast. I got to have some great beers. I got to, you know, have a great conversation with the owner of Invasive Species. I got a t-shirt. I mean, I got all kinds of cool stuff. And just that was probably the longest amount of time that I've spent in a brewery in years. And I had a blast. I mean, I was there probably about 5 hours altogether, you know, from start to finish. And the goal ultimately was for me to be able to pick up any donations that they had and bring them over to Fort Myers and drop them off. And it ended up being more of a cash thing than actual donations. Not too many people actually brought items to donate, but they made a ton of cash that day that actually went towards not only the people from Forever Tattoo Parlor that needed the help, but also they had, I think, a charity that they had picked out that was going to get some of the funds as well. Oh. So good. So lots and lots of fun. I had a blast. I did fuck up though. And so I don't know how these guys make these slushy things, but in the past, I have had an issue where sometimes if I drink a way too high ABV drink, beer or alcohol, and meaning like spirits or something like that, on kind of an empty stomach, I break out in the cold sweats. I get the most horrible abdominal pain, and I literally will just shit my brains out. I'll end up absolutely miserable for like 45 minutes to an hour, and then all of a sudden it just goes away. It's like my stomach acid kind of like settles itself and everything, and then I'm like an armored truck. I can literally eat, drink anything, and it doesn't bother me again after that. And I made the mistake when I got to invasive. Excuse me, in that the first drink that I had when I was there was their 10% caramel apple slushy. And yeah, that shit fucked me up. I ended up shitting multiple times, which is the most uncomfortable scenario when you're at a brewery, especially a brewery that only has two bathrooms. And you got people like knocking on the door when you're trying to, like, you're literally in miserable pain, like trying to just go to the bathroom. And you got people knocking, you got people, you know, and you're like, fuck, and you're embarrassed. And dude, and I will be like 100% honest and say that it wouldn't go down. when I was done, it would not flush. And I ended up having to fish the paper out with my hand. Disgusting. Throw it away. Clean myself, obviously. I mean, I took paper towels and soaked them up and I wiped the whole toilet down. I wiped the floor down. I wiped everything off as if I was at home, like cleaning my bathroom. Obviously, cleaned myself, everything else. I was so embarrassed. And then I finally went out there. And by the time that shit finally wore off, I was soaked. I had sweat dripping down my ass crack. My fucking underwear was soaked. It was probably the most embarrassing scenario, but I just stayed off to the corner, minding my own business until it finally went away. And then I went out and hit the food truck and got some little chicken sandwiches. And then I started hammering the fucking sours and didn't have any more issues for the rest of the day. But that is the most embarrassing. Like, it's one thing when it happens at home or like at a home party or something like that. But when you're out at something like that, it is so embarrassing because I didn't know where to go. Like, I mean, I'm not gonna go sit in the car. I'm not gonna like I'm just like in the corner, like trying to ignore people. And meanwhile, like sweat is dripping down my face, it's dripping down my back, my hair is soaked, my armpits are soaked, my shoulders. I don't know what it is about me personally, but my shoulders sweat like crazy when I'm in those scenarios. So the whole shoulder of my shirt was soaked. And it's just embarrassing. It was probably the funniest fucking thing. If somebody had been with me, they would have been like laughing their asses off. But it was a lot of fun. Had a fucking blast. And I really. I'm going to segue off of that from that was the last opportunity that I had in brewery style. I've been trying to set up a brewery crawl on the West Coast to try to get some business over to some of these West Coast breweries that were affected by Hurricane Ian. And I kind of made the mistake of partnering up with a young lady, and I won't name her name, but on Instagram, and she kind of told me she would take the reins and she knew a lot of people over there and that she would be happy to kind of jump in and help organize it. And I haven't heard from her. And I've reached out to her several times. She kind of just brushes me off and doesn't say a whole lot. And it's frustrating because I wanted to do this to help these breweries over there. And now I kind of feel like I was backseated by somebody who wasn't even involved in my, mission to begin with. And I let them backseat me, but that's not going to happen. So we're going to go ahead and get this thing organized. I'm going to start making calls to breweries this week, and we're going to try and see if we can get a crawl set up ASAP. If not before the end of November, early in December, on the West Coast to hit some of these breweries that have been affected by Hurricane Ian, so we can bring in some much needed revenue and also collect some resources to help them. A lot of breweries are. And not all of them, but a lot of breweries are week to week, man. And if they have one bad week, they're on the verge of like not being able to pay people, not being able to cover their expenses. And I know this because I've talked to a lot of brewery owners, and depending on where they are, that's kind of the scenario. So imagine what these guys that are in like the Fort Myers area and Naples and Bonita Springs and Cape Coral and stuff like that are going through that. Had to be shut down for a week, weeks, whatever, and they had no revenue coming in. They're probably in really difficult situations. And my goal was to help ease that burden a little bit. And I think we're gonna, well, I don't think we're really gonna push hard and heavy over the next couple of weeks and try to make that happen and clear that up and get that going over on the West Coast. And it's just, I don't know why I don't know why I kind of like allowed the handoff, but she really made me feel comfortable with her knowledge and the people that she knew over there. And she is a resident on the West Coast and told me that she was friends with a lot of the brewery owners. So I just kind of felt like, well, why not? That sounds like the perfect scenario is, let this young lady who knows everybody kind of help out. And then we go from there. And it just hasn't worked out. So anyway, but it's been a freaking blast, right? I mean, it's pretty incredible when you look back at, the past 4 years of this show and the thousands and thousands of brews that I've tried and the beers that have been, sent to me from cool breweries all over the United States, some Canada and all kinds of cool shit. And it's just, I mean, broadened my horizons and opened up my palate. And I mean, dude, I'll be honest, like in the beginning, like I was a lager and ale kind of guy. Like I was an IPA guy. I was a lager kind of guy. I was not a stout person. I couldn't have told you the difference between a a stout and a porter. I couldn't have told you what a kettle sour or a barrel aged sour or a friggin' fruited sour. I couldn't have told you differences between any of those beers. I couldn't have. I wasn't a sour person, you know. Like I mean, I felt like those were bitch beers, and you know, I mean, all kinds of crazy shit. And since then, my palate has just exploded to the fact that, you know, now one of the things that I would have told you in the beginning when I first started this show is that I wasn't a barley wine fan, and I've come to love barley wines, wild ales, you know, all kinds of good stuff that would have been at the bottom of my list has now made its way to the top because I've realized how much better those beers are and how good they can be. And now I seek out the ones that actually are top tier and, you know, really make a difference and just hit the palate so nicely. Excuse me. Woo. Let me go and see if I can finish this Vermillionaire so I can crack my next one. Woo. Woo. All right. I'm gonna have to do one more before I can crack the next one. But I'm just, you know, looking back at all this cool shit and the cool breweries that I and people that I've come in contact with and all the cool shit that I have. I mean, dude, I have fucking, I mean, at least 75 glasses from different breweries all over the United States. I have a ton of EDCs. I mean, I really got involved in this, you know, community as a whole. I have stickers out the wing wang. I mean, I have stickers from pretty much every friggin' brewery that I've ever been to, plus a bunch of ones that I've never been to that I got in trades and, you know, things like that. And it's just been, I mean, I don't know. I've said it a thousand times. It's been amazing, but it has. I mean, the last 4 years have just been a joy in my life. And for a lot of you that may not know this, you know, I attempted to open my own brewery. I mean, Patriot Brewing Company was a real thing in my life. And we actually got down to the nitty-gritty. We had put a deposit on a location and we were waiting on city sign-off and licensing in order for us to get started in the build-out process. I spent about $15,000 having an architect draw out my plans, and we had water testing done, we had soil testing done, we did all this stuff, and the city ended up coming back and saying that we couldn't put a brewery where we wanted to. And part of the reason was a public issue where people on the committee in the town felt like it was dangerous because of where it was located, that it could have had an effect on drunk driving and things like that. And I mean, I get it, but that's any brewery, bar, gas station that sells beer, anything. It doesn't matter. And, you know, we fought that for a little bit, but there wasn't a whole lot we could do because obviously the city at the end of the day has the last decision, and we're not going to go. I don't have the kind of money to go to bat against the city and try to fight them and spend hundreds of thousands of dollars in court, you know, going back and forth. And so I ultimately ended up needing about 18 grand, and tabling the dream for now, you know. So, and it sucks because where I wanted to do this, there's nothing out here. There's nothing in this area. There's nothing that would have even competed with us. It would have been its own complete standalone situation. It would have been absolutely fantastic. And the space that I had picked out would have been fucking perfect. I mean, we would have been able to have an outdoor area. We would have been able to have a cigar room inside with barrel-aged beers and all kinds of good stuff. We had plenty of room for a production facility with canning area and everything. It would have been absolutely fantastic. And unfortunately, it just, like I said, it just didn't work out. And, you know, $18,000 later, I swallowed my pride a little bit on that one and just kept moving forward. So it's been rough in that aspect, but everything else, you know, I mean, I can't say it enough that this whole process has just been joy, you know. I mean, and it's hard, you know, a lot of people would look at the scenario and be like, oh, well, alcohol, I mean, how does alcohol bring you joy? Well, it's not just the alcohol. The alcohol is probably a small percentage of it, to be honest. The relationships and the camaraderie and the community is what's been most important and what's really stood out to me about this whole entire thing throughout this entire process. So now I want to get into last week and talk a little bit about, I think this may be the reason why all this crazy Murphy's Law shit happened with the original episode because I didn't, it was prior to Election Day. And I'm actually having the opportunity to talk about the election and things like that. Now, I don't, those of you that listen to my show, you know where I lean. I would consider myself to be more of a libertarian than anything else. I'm definitely not a Republican, but I do lean more to the right. And the reality is that it's just common fucking sense. You know, like there's no such thing as minor attracted persons that need to be given leeway or to be able to be understood. If you want to fuck kids, you deserve to die, period. I have absolutely no problems or qualms whatsoever with the LGBTQIA community. I have friends and family members who are LGBT, and I love them with all my heart and do not look at them in any different light than I do anybody else. I treat them exactly with the same respect that I would treat anybody, and I love them with all my heart. And I've said this before on the show that it's not our job to judge people. You know, the Bible does say that homosexuality is wrong, but it's not my job to judge that. It's not my job to tell you you're wrong. I mean, it's the same thing as having you can have a brother or sister or a family member that's a drug addict, and you can love the sinner but hate the sin, right? But again, it's not my job to judge sin. It's not nowhere in the Bible or in, you know, does Christ speak to humankind, you know, judging people? That's his job. Right. So at the end of the day, we're to love everybody. We're to accept everybody with open arms. And that's exactly what I do. And that's how my family does. So how my kids were brought up. That's how my extended family is. Like, there's nobody that you will meet that has anything to do with me or my family that wouldn't accept anybody for exactly who they are. One of my daughters, heaven forbid, were to come to me and say, you know, that they had chosen a different path, I would love them with all my heart. I would support them and I would treat them exactly the same way as I do today. There would be no difference in how in you know the function they have in this family or how they're treated or what they're you know or how dad looks at them. I would love them and hug them and treat them exactly the same way that I treat them to this day. And that's a misconception I think about, you know, right-leaning people, is that the media and the news and everybody else will have you believe that we are totally against, you know, black people and LGBTQ and all this other stuff. And that's not It's not true in any way, shape, or form. I am the furthest thing in the world from a racist. You know, I love all my brothers and sisters in Christ, and doesn't matter what the color of your skin is, doesn't matter where you were born. You know, I draw the line at things like pedophiles. Yes, I believe they deserve to be thrown in a wood chipper. I draw the line at people trying to force medical procedures on me and my family. So all you idiots out there who felt like it was the right thing to do was to try to make fun of and or talk down to the people who decided not to take a certain medical procedure that a lot of you are now dying from. You can go fuck right off because I could care less about what you know, if you decided to get this medical procedure and you haven't been affected by it, God bless you, because there's a ton of people out there that are, I mean, they're literally developing new essentially diseases and or medical protocols to basically, you know, give explanation to why random people are like just dropping dead from cardiac arrest. There's a lady the other day that's 49 years old, and she literally had posted on her Twitter account, like, you know, the fuck the, you know, anti-vaxxers and the people that don't want to, you know, take this, don't want to help mankind, you know, hope they're all dropping dead like flies. Well, guess what? October 6th, she passed away from cardiac arrest. And she was double vaxxed and boosted. And that's, I mean, it makes no sense to me, right? I refused. I did not allow myself nor any of my family to take it. And we have seen issues within our personal family, but I'll keep that between us. And it's just, you know, like those are where I start drawing the line. When you start telling me that I have to do something, or you want to take away my guns because you don't believe that I have the right to defend myself and my family, you can fuck right off. You don't believe that I have the right to decide. Now, I will say that even as a Christian man, it's very hard for me to sit here on this microphone and tell you that I am for or against abortion. It's a gray area for me. It's hard because there are scenarios where, like, if one of my girls or my wife or somebody in my family was to be raped or something like that was to happen and they were to become pregnant from that, I believe they should be able to make the decision of whether they want to keep that baby or not. But biblically, there is no decision. It's that child is a blessing from God, no matter what the scenario is and how it was conceived, and we're supposed to embrace it and love it. But as a human, I don't know that I can do it, and I don't know that I could, force somebody essentially to follow through with something like that, knowing that it was a traumatizing experience that brought that about. So we're, I had there are things about, politics and whatever else. And first of all, like, abortion should never even be a political thing. I mean, that's a life or death kind of thing. That's a morality issue. It's not a political issue. They've made it a political issue because they've tried to divide us. And so anyway, going back to the election, I mean, I'm so glad to see Florida step up and say, fuck all this crazy woke bullshit that's going on, and see Governor DeSantis win by a landslide. Marco Rubio will win by a landslide. I mean, we basically turned the entire state of Florida red, and I think that's what needed to happen, right? But what I also don't understand is, as a state that was just devastated by one of the biggest, most powerful hurricanes in a long time, we were able to have all of our votes cast and counted within 24 hours, and we still have liberal states out there that are still counting votes. What? Today's the 12th, so 4 days later, and it makes no sense to me. Because I literally believe that they wait until the evening of so they can determine how many votes they need in order to overtake the opposition. And then that's what they do, is they manufacture those votes, or they bring fake ballots, or however they do this. I don't know how to do it, but it just doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, you look at Pennsylvania. How the fuck did someone like John Fetterman get elected to the Senate in Pennsylvania? Dude can't even put a coherent sentence together. Good night, everybody. I mean, the dude makes no sense. And I get it. I mean, he had a stroke. Okay. Well, if he had a stroke and he's not coherent enough to be able to have a conversation with a normal person, he shouldn't be eligible to run for the fucking Senate. Period. He should have had to withdraw from the race. He shouldn't have been allowed to run. You don't put somebody there who doesn't understand the position and the weight of what they're going to be. What they're going to have to deal with if they physically can't handle it. Let them run again. If his mental capacity is supposed to be fixed and it's supposed to come back within the next, 6 to 12 months or whatever the case may be, let him run again. But he should have had to withdraw from the race. But instead, they elected this fool, which, I mean, he's in my opinion, you hear some of the sound bites from his conversations, and they're absolutely ridiculous, worse than Biden's. It's just, I don't get it. I mean, here we are. I will be honest and say that my family and I are in the worst financial situation that we've been in as long as I can remember. Things have gotten extremely tight for us to the point that, we are living paycheck to paycheck. And it's frustrating, And a lot of that has to do with everything going up. Not just gas, not just food, but insurance, power. I mean, everything you can possibly imagine has gone up. And a lot of this stuff has gone up significantly to the point that we're spending sometimes double, triple what we were in previous years. And when salaries didn't move, it doesn't make any sense. And sadly, right before all this really happened and before all the craziness came down on us, I made the decision to step back financially and take a role with a new company where I took a pay cut. And since then, it's only gotten harder, and it's extremely difficult. But I look at Florida as the shining example of what could have been and what should have been in the United States. But unfortunately, we still have so many corrupt people out there that are in charge and that are making the decisions that, it's going to be a long time before we see things corrected. But I pray, that with all this that we have going on, that if the, conservative leaning people can take over the Senate and take over the House, it'll be a huge win, you know, for us, and we'll be able to start making some headway towards repairing this country and fixing what has been absolutely destroyed on purpose in the last 2 years. I mean, you can't look at anything that Joe Biden and his administration have done in the last 2 years and think that none of this was done, that was calculated, and that was done in such a way that it was designed to destroy America. There, it was designed to devalue the dollar. It was designed to push people to the government for provision. It was designed to put people in a scenario that they're basically communistic, and we're not, you know, like, that's not the way that this country needs to be ran. It's not what we should want for the country, and it's just absolutely ridiculous. So, but as a man, as a man, as a husband, as a father, to say that this whole situation has been difficult is an understatement. I mean, for me, it is just like I have taken a personal hit, not only financially, but mentally. Because, you know, we look at like the scenarios of where we are and the decisions that we've made and the things that have happened to our families or around our families and everything else over the last couple of years. And it's hard not to feel some kind of way about decisions that we made, you know, like, should we have stood up earlier? Should we have come together and fought against the stolen election that we all know at this point in time essentially was stolen? Should there have been a civil war? Should we, you know, I mean, those are things that are not easy to think about. They're not easy questions to ask. But there are things that, as a father and a husband, you look at where you are now and the scenario that your family is going through, and you say, did I fuck up? Did I not stand tall enough? Did I not push back hard enough? Did I not, you know, do what I should have done in order to make sure that my family was taken care of? You know, because at the end of the day, the last thing I want, I have a 13-year-old daughter. The last thing I want is for like some, oh, I identify as a girl, a transgender kid in her school to be allowed to use her bathroom, and heaven forbid something happens to her, like what happened to a young lady in Tennessee, where her father is made out to be the tyrant and the evil person because he stood up and fought back against his daughter being raped by a transgender man who was allowed to use the female restroom because that he identified as a female. I mean, these are the kind of things that we have to look forward to. And I think what people don't realize is when this stuff starts having an overwhelmingly drastic effect on our children, that's when parents are really going to stand up and say, no, this is not going to happen. That's when guns start getting cocked. That's when bullets start being loaded. That's when gear starts being put on. That's when dad starts stepping forward and saying, you're not fucking with my kids. You're going to have to come through me first. And that's when violence starts becoming normal. That's when things really escalate to the next level, is when they really start to try to put our children in the middle of it. Because I don't know about you, but I don't know a single dad that wouldn't give his life for his kids. And in the scenario, like a lot of what we, I mean, we're being, I got in an argument with somebody on my craft beer account the other day because they were posting about the Proud Boys supposedly showing up at a family-friendly drag event. And I was called a bigot and called and told that I was a fucking piece of shit and whatever else. And then I was blocked, of course. But there's no such thing as a family-friendly drag event. There's no such thing. There's no scenario where a man dresses up as a woman provocatively and dances and sings in front of children, and that's okay. And that's what a family-friendly drag event is. They don't go out there in a Mary Poppins costume and, you know, sing to the kids about Mary Poppins. They go out there in provocative clothing, fishnet stockings, bras, see-through garments, and they dance provocatively in front of these children. And we're supposed to just accept that and think it's okay. It's not fucking okay. if I have a 5-year-old little boy or a 5-year-old daughter, and I end up going to a restaurant, and next thing I know, here comes fucking Pollyanna, the drag queen, and she's dancing in the middle of the floor in front of my kids, I'm getting up and I'm fucking leaving. And you better believe that the management and the ownership of that building or that restaurant or wherever I was is going to hear about it. There's nothing okay about that. And they're trying to literally make us all believe and or force us to accept the fact that they think it's okay for children to be attending events like this. And their argument is, oh, well, it's not, they don't get naked. They don't, it doesn't matter. You have a male dressing up as a female in provocative clothing and dancing in front of children. There's nothing okay about that. That's like saying you're going to take your kid to a porno drive-in, but because it's a drive-in and they could just close their eyes, it's not that bad. No, it is bad. It's horrible. And children should not be subjected to that. They shouldn't be involved in that. They shouldn't have anything to do with that. But we are being made, we're being made out right now as bigots and homophobes, and not any other word you can possibly imagine, because we don't want our children to be associated with that kind of crap. That's where like gays against groomers came from. You have a coalition of millions of gay people that have come together, LGBT people that have come together and said, we don't support this. We don't stand behind the grooming of children. We don't stand behind family-friendly drag events. We don't stand behind school districts teaching children about sexual activity and anal sex and self-pleasure and all this other stuff. There, nowhere in the world should a teacher ever be teaching a child how to pleasure themselves or how to have anal sex with a partner or how to perform oral sex. That should never be a conversation that's had between a minor child and an adult. Never. I don't care what your premise is. I don't care if you have the best intentions in the world. As an adult who is not that child's parent, you should not be having that type of a conversation with any child. Yeah, I got a Sun Lab feeling the flow. It's an American sour ale with pomegranate, tangerine, and plum. About to hammer this bad boy down. Oh, yeah. It's a good one. It's got a nice little bite to it. Very pomegranate forward, which is surprising, because pomegranate is a very hard flavor to bring to the forefront. But I guess because it's pomegranate, tangerine, and plum, you get a little bit of the tangerine on the back end. But plum is also is another one that's like pomegranate, where it's not very concentrated, so it's very hard to get to bring a plum flavor forward. But I like it; it's extremely good. I had a few of these. I got a 4-pack actually from Fresh Market a couple weeks back, and this is probably, I think I have one more left after this one, and it's a damn good beer, so I enjoy it a lot. It's I believe a 5.6%. Let me see, 5.7%. So it's a little bit stronger than your typical sour ale, but it's fantastic. So if you got a chance, try it out. And guys, I don't want to go crazy, right? I don't want to keep you for a ton of time. I know we started. Some of you were probably expecting like a 2-hour episode with a bunch of guests and all kinds of crazy people on here. But I decided, you know what? I'm going to hit on what's important to me. And I'm going to, you know, kind of discuss where I've been, where we've come from, you know, some of my favorite episodes and some of my favorite scenarios that have gone down. And I think, you know, if you are a guy and this podcast in any way, shape, or form helped you, I would really appreciate it if you would let me know. You know, if it's a DM or an email, whatever. I mean, whatever works is fantastic, because guys go through some shit. Right. I mean, we are expected to be strong. We're expected to be brave. We're expected to stand up to anything. But at the end of the day, guys go through more shit than most people out there. And I actually made a post on Instagram today on my personal account. And I'm going to read it to you real quick, because it was kind of a hard like post for me to make. But I said I didn't realize how much I needed to bond with other men until I did. If you're a man and anything like me, you probably spent a lot of time alone, working, and simply trying to figure life out. When I took a step back and allowed other men I trusted to be a part of my life, it truly started to change something in me for the better. As humans, we are social creatures, and solitude is not healthy, nor is it normal. Know this, guys. I'm here for anybody that needs me. Just a call or a message away. Always stay in the fight. Because I feel like guys, especially, don't reach out. They don't go to each other when they need help or when they need assistance. They don't go to each other when they feel vulnerable. They don't go to each other when life is attacking them. They don't go to each other when they feel like they're being hit from all sides. You know, we're more likely to lock ourselves in a car at the end of a street and scream into the steering wheel or pound on the steering wheel or put a gun in our mouths than we are to actually reach out to somebody else for help. And I think having the opportunity to be involved in a group of men that are like-minded and that are able to have these conversations has probably been a life-changing experience for me. And it's given me not only resources and men to reach out to when I do have frustrating days, but also accountability partners, friends, colleagues, you know, all kinds of cool stuff. And I just encourage you guys, man, if you're out there and you need something, please don't hesitate to reach out. Dude, I will pick up the phone at 2 a.m. and talk to anybody if you're going through something and you need some help. If you need just an ear to listen, you need some advice, if there's anything at all that I can do for you, please do not hesitate to reach out to me. You shoot me a DM on IG, I'll get it, and I'll send you my phone number and we can chat. And I will do everything in my power that I possibly can to help you and assist you and give you an outlet and somebody that you can speak to, that you can be vulnerable with, and that you can truly come to terms with what's going on in your life and the decisions that you're making and the frustration and or, you know, difficulties that you're going through. And I think that's, you know, that's a huge piece of just being a man. And yeah, I just want you guys to know that. And I'm so absolutely thankful for this show, for my people, for those of you that have been here, like I said, since day one. You know, again, we have the Craft Master Grands, calling all craft beer glasses. We got another round done. They're $12.99 a piece. If you're interested in one of those, please hit me up. DM on callingallcraftbeer.com. I mean, on calling all craft beers IG. I will post them in the story as well, so you guys get an idea of what we have and what we need. And I'm just uber thankful for every single one of you and the people that take the time to listen to this show. And I thank you guys for 100 episodes and cheers to 100 more. I'll see you guys around. I'll talk to you next week. The next episode is going to be a Fire Brewx episode. You have my word on that. And I'll talk to you guys again soon. Thanks for 100. I'll see you soon. Later.